Gossip Girl Claudia Jordan, and we are back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. Now sit back, relax, and get ready for this hot tea we have for you tonight. Please welcome Al Reynolds. Hello, hello, Al.
What's going on, Claudia?
I was going to say your full name, Alfred. I don't even know if that's your real full
that
name.
That is not my name.
Alfred.
No, just Al.
Alfred.
Just Al. No.
And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
What's going on? How y'all feeling tonight?
Very good. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm actually great. I'm actually drinking tonight. So hopefully you got your drink.
What's in that cup?
This is a street drink, though. You know, very bar. It's just, it's tequila and pineapple. Clearly, I've been sipping before the show.
Okay. Al, are you drinking?
Of course. I'm drinking my buttery Chardonnay right here with a little bit of ice cubes because I like my wine cold.
Okay. Well, I know I said earlier I would be drinking, but I went to lunch with my girl Annie at Fred Siegel and they did not have the drink that I like. And I've been running nonstop. So I'm just going to act like I've been drinking tonight. How about that? All right. Let's get into these topics so we can drink these in. All right. We have an update regarding the Wendy Williams and Kevin Hunter legal battle. We reported the story about Kevin demanding 2 years of back divorce payments from Wendy. However, Wendy's lawyers fired back saying that Wendy Williams overpaid Kevin more than $112,000, and they are demanding that he return it. Do you think this is a tactic to paint Kevin as greedy? And if Wendy owes him, why would the lawyers demand that he return the funds? What do you think about this, Armand?
This is interesting. I don't know really what to think about this because they're saying that, you know, he was only supposed to get paid up until Wendy wasn't getting the same amount of salary that she was receiving on the show. And I guess that ended in 2022. So she had ended up paying him like over $37,000 a month for 3 months. So he was actually getting more money than the initial agreement had discussed. So at this point, he should pay the money back. I don't think that this is a ploy to make him greedy, but because he is being greedy, honestly. Like, I personally feel like he is being greedy. And I feel like if the agreement was set to be, listen, if Wendy's making this amount of money, then that's what you're going to get paid. Once that amount stops or it falls below that amount, you don't get paid anymore. So at the end of the day, he should have saved his money and moved on.
Ramon Rosado said, wow, that's a lot of money. And Bettina Lesser said, he don't have it. Al, what do you think?
I think that this is weird. And I think this is a play to quiet him because lawyers, why is the lawyer requesting for the money to be returned? Why isn't the lawyer going to the courts and saying, you need to throw out his case for more money because she has overpaid. This is the proof of her overpayment. And if that is indeed the fact, everybody knows, especially in the state of New York, in the state of New Jersey, and a couple of other states, if you overpay, you can then subtract that from the money that you are owed. So if he feels like he's owed $150,000 and she overpaid $110,000, the courts will subtract the $110,000 from what he thinks he's owed and can prove that he's owed. So I don't understand why the lawyers, quote, the lawyers are asking for him to return the money to them. That just doesn't make sense. It seems like they're trying to silence him because he's making it very public that he thinks he's owed more money.
Ishafon said, Wendy shouldn't pay him ish. Unique Jacob said, any other time you're overpaid like that, the state or a job, then you have to pay it back. Vanessa Hearn said, does anyone around Wendy care about Wendy? And M-Town Boy Foya said, Wendy also said she had a plan. Guess this is the plan to cut him off. This is a sad story. All right, moving on. Soulmates, get into this trifling story. A mother discovered that her 10-year-old son has been having an inappropriate relationship with an adult daycare employee. Grace Sholio revealed that the employee's picture was her son's screensaver, and she found inappropriate pictures and text messages between the two on his phone. The daycare has since fired her. Now, do you think the employee will be charged? And is the daycare liable at all? Al, thoughts?
I mean, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Across the board. This is sick. This is pedophilia at its finest. I mean, he's 10 years old, for goodness sake. And this just pissed me off. This whole story just kind of pissed me off because you don't mess with people's kids. Come on, y'all, especially when they entrust you to take care of their kids and you are now physically abusing them. And she needs to be worried about the constitution of that state as it relates to the laws of rape. Because if this is constituted as rape, she could find herself doing a lot of time. And to be honest, she deserves everything she got coming to her. When you start messing with little boys or little girls, because if this was a man that was texting and having an inappropriate relationship with a little girl, we would be all in uproar. We need to exercise the same type of uproar in this case. She needs to be underneath the jail for this type of behavior.
What is it? It seems like every couple of days they're doing a story about a teacher and a kid and 10 years old. Armand, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100% with Al, and I just think that it's sick. And if what's even more sick about the situation is she almost was trying to act like the little boy's mommy. So you were trying to come in almost like a friend or like a mother figure, but then you're like sending him sexually suggested photos of you and then buying him a chain. It was just really, really weird. And I think that, you know, we need to hold these women more accountable for these types of things. Like, this is not cute. This is not okay. Because again, like the mother even stated, she's upset because this woman hasn't even been charged. The best thing that's happened to her is she's just been fired. But there's been no real charges brought against her. And if this was a man, this man would have been underneath the jailhouse. This woman should not be able to get away with this because this is predatory behavior amongst a little boy. So it's not okay and it's disgusting.
I know there's a shortage in teachers. I know it's difficult to get these positions filled, especially with how they underpay them so badly. But are we just like, what is the screening process now? Like, how is all these people just getting in here that have these weird feelings towards kids? It seems like we're reporting on these stories weekly, at least once or twice a week. And it's more and more common. And now we're seeing a lot of Black women that I never really saw much of that before. And this is, we got to do better with this, the screening process here. Also, she was rubbing his leg inappropriately on a field trip. So there was definitely some physical touching there, and it just absolutely disgusting.
You better be lucky that mom didn't take it into her own hands and kill her, because that's what some people would have done. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be playing with people's kids like that. You know, people will spaz out over their children. So she,
I did like the fact that the mother was very articulate. She looks like she's definitely going to get her justice, and she's going to get it. She's going to get it from that young lady if she can. She's going to get it from that daycare if she can. She's going to get it from wherever. That woman looks like she is definitely focused for justice. And I'm going to follow this story just for that.
Jesus Girl Behavior said, I saw one of the pics she sent that 10-year-old. I would go to jail with a smile on my face if that was my kid.
Wow.
And Jay Callwood 25 said, if this was my child, there would be no need for a trial. I'm taking care of her myself. and Chrissy H, I like this. People need to protect and teach their sons just as vigorously as they protect their daughters.
True.
All right, moving on. Our friend, Rolling Ray. Hey, Ray. Recently spoke on the relationship between JT and Lil Uzi Vert. He tweeted to JT, you're the man in the relationship. I mean, the top. My bad. I mean, the more dominant one. Damn, I mean, the man of the house. What are your thoughts on his comments? And do you think he would roll up on Lil Uzi Vert with the same energy in person if he saw him? Armand, what do you think?
I just feel like, you know, let Rolling Ray roll and roll. You know, it's okay. I mean, at this point, you know, we know Rolling Ray is a rolling troll. And that is just a part of his social media persona. You don't get offended by people with Rolling Ray. And Little Uzi, JT, slapping Rolling Ray, kicking him out of his wheelchair, you don't get any cool points for that. So Rolling Ray understands that he's handicapped and he can kind of get away with things that the average person couldn't. So for that, I would let it like roll off of my back and not even acknowledge it at this point. Now, as far as JT and Uzi, they have a very eccentric relationship. I do feel like Uzi does play into his feminine side, but there's something about him that Jay-Z does like. And I do feel like behind closed doors, outside of his persona, he does give her that man that she's looking for.
All right, Al, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I'm not being an ableist. I'm not also exercising ableism, but somebody needs to check Rolling Ray. I mean, I understand that some people may interpret it as like harmless or What's the big deal? First of all, don't disrespect that man like that. Like, don't make this sexual connotation as if he's a homosexual or he's gay, and then you're gonna backpedal and all that stuff. I don't care. That's just inappropriate. Somebody one day is really gonna check Roland Ray, because he talks a lot of junk. And I'm not saying I'm gonna be the one, but somebody eventually is going to check Roland Ray for that mouth.
M-Town Boy for you said, Roland Ray is a hot rolling mess. And Joseph Savage said he spoke some truths. I'm sure there's some pegging on some levels going on.
But let me ask you this, Al. What can you possibly do to check a wheelchair-bound man in a wig?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you, like, look at Roland Ray.
I think he may come across the wrong female and she gonna read him to the ground and embarrass him like, you know, a good read would do. I think, you know, I don't know. All I'm saying is you can't just give a person like that a pass and say, oh, because you are disabled, you can talk crap. No, that's not how this works. I just don't feel like that's how this works. If you're going to bring the heat, expect the heat back, and don't hide behind the disability, in my opinion. I just feel like, and especially when it's intentional and it's trolling. So you really coming out your mouth knowing that you are hiding behind that physical disability and hoping that no one comes back for you. I don't like that.
Jolene Stockley said, but why? Why should you get away with things because you're in a wheelchair? And Riel said, I agree, Al, with all the rude-ish, someone should tip that damn cart over. Okay.
Or if you don't want to be too, you know, park in his handicap spot. I don't know. I'll be petty like that. Or I would find somebody else who's like physically disabled to park in his handicap spot.
You know, I don't even think it's just people that are handicapped. I just think everyone talks so much trash now. Like, people are just extremely reckless. That's the culture now. People just say whatever. We're in very disrespectful times. And when I was coming up as a teenager, I remember people used to fight. They would go approach people and they would be like, oh, I heard you was talking trash. What's good? And they would confront people. And sometimes they would argue, sometimes they would fight, but they would get confronted. I feel like now people are very safe and comfortable in the comfort of their homes, on their phones, talking trash, coming for people they would never have the same energy for in person. So it's like acceptable now. It's like it's people think it's cute. So, all right. Coming up next, you won't believe what Toni Braxton was misdiagnosed with. Not again. And later, find out why a former police officer is behind bars. We'll be back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, how do you get arrested while on strict house arrest? Let's ask NBA Youngboy, who was just arrested in Utah. He was charged with unlawful activity, procuring or attempting to procure drugs, identity theft, forgery, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of a dangerous weapon by a restricted person. All right, y'all, that's a lot. I ran out of breath reading all the charges. I'm like, when are they going to end? All right, do you think he needs jail time or rehab for the alleged drug addiction? Armand, what do you think?
At first, I'm just like, how stupid could you be? You know what I mean? And then, two, I'm wondering, like, how do you get caught when you're on house arrest? Shouldn't you be at home? Like, how did the police find these things out? But anyway, I personally feel like jail time is clearly not the answer. Clearly. So I personally feel as though NBA Youngboy needs extensive rehab. Okay. He needs rehabilitation bad, because I fear that he may die, because he really be on those drugs heavy. Okay, he's made posts about being on those drugs. It's just really weird. Cryptic messages in the past. And I just feel as though, you know, we lose a lot of our entertainers to their hidden drug addiction. So hopefully he can get it together and stop playing with all these different drugs.
Okay, Al, what are your thoughts on this?
I think he needs both. I mean, clearly he needs rehab. I mean, we have seen him recently with, I think, whatever the pitcher was where he was laying down on the ground and had it beside him. I really do think that he probably needs both, because we can't let him off for the gun charges, right? And once he had the gun charges and was on home arrest, the reason why they put him in Utah was because he said he has a mentor there. It's safer for him. It takes him out of his environment where he can focus on not doing drugs and doing safe stuff. But then he went there and intentionally fraudulently pretended to be a doctor, pretended to be the people that the doctor wrote the prescription to. He did everything that he could to get those mixes of drugs to create that lean. That's criminal. That's criminal, right? So I think, A, before I send him to prison for breaking his house arrest, I would send him to rehab to clean him up, to prepare him to go to prison for breaking, quote, like something like a parole.
Miss Keita Johnson said he's got as many mugshots as kids. Wu Child, just a hot mess. And they are calling this a large scale prescription fraud ring.
Right.
And Lil Lexi said, yes, it's in his eyes. He has always had that look in his eyes. I hope he gets better and recovers. He needs rehab.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of
what
police,
do you do? What about his 11 kids, Claudia?
How do you have 11 kids?
What about his 11 kids?
And are you making these kids while on drugs? Like, I would hope he wouldn't. Like, that's dangerous, you know? Okay. 11 kids. Wow. Speaking of police, former undercover St. Louis police officer Luther Hall was just awarded over $23 million while undercover at a protest that started over a police officer murdering a black man. Now, Hall was attacked and brutally beaten by three white cops who were his own coworkers and didn't recognize him during the protests. All right, y'all. Is it fair that he is rewarded with taxpayer dollars? And will this ever teach these departments a lesson? Al, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fair. And I'm really excited to even be covering this type of story, because we've been saying this for decades. We've been saying this for decades that these cops, these racist cops, do too much. And they are not only beating us up, but they're setting us up and they're sending us to jail for life for stuff that we shouldn't necessarily be sent to jail in life for. I love the fact that this judge said, listen, the only way we're going to make this police station and this district stop this inherent racism is we're going to take it out of their funds. That $23 million will come out of a fund, right? That, you know, the police and the union and the insurance fund. That's taken away from their retirement. So it's not necessarily, you know, all coming out of the taxpayers' dollars. It's also coming out of that police officer's fund. And I mean, you know, their insurance. And I like it. I think finally justice, finally hit them where it hurts. That way, that's the only way that we're going to change these attitudes. And they need to investigate all those police officers that were involved in the entire police station.
All right, Armand.
Give the man his money, deposit his check, okay? All day long. I support it wholeheartedly. And, you know, to me, being a taxpayer, you know, it coming out of taxpayer dollars, that doesn't bother me. You know, they take my money for stupider things, for less important things. And I'm not the type of person that really goes and protests and stands out front on the picket line. So if you can take some of my money from the IRS, go ahead, have at it. That's my way of support. Power to the people. Power, also, Angawa, black power.
Also, think about it. You're going to spend more money with your taxpayer dollars with a black male in prison for 50 years. Okay? Think about it. Think about the cost of putting him in prison by these dirty cops.
But with $25 million, when will they learn? It's like they rather just act a fool and risk these lawsuits because they just get paid off and then life goes on, then adjust the behavior. I think it's just a matter of the recruitment process, the people that they're getting, their biases, the what kind of psychological testing are you doing on these people? These people are just on ready all the time to gang up on a black man and beat him up and murder and kill and maim. And we don't see that same energy for the others. I'm glad he got his check. Keep it going. Keep up the good work, dummies, dumb police officers. This is a question I was posed. Do you think the cops are still working with another police department? Do you think the cops are still working within another police department? Yeah, a lot of times they don't even get sent away, really. They may get, sent away, but they're picked back up.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, this administration been trying to get the whole qualified immunity thing and trying to get it where they can't just pop up in other districts. You mess up in Cleveland, you get to go to Youngstown. and re-violates. It's unbelievable.
Right. And see, that's the backhanded stuff, because what will happen is they'll be like, well, we're going to give this black man $23 million, but we're going to let them keep their job. No, you fire him, lock them up, and give the black men the $23 million. But sometimes right. they don't want to give us everything. You know what I mean? So if they'll give us the money, but then this person is allowed to keep their job and their freedom. And that's the part that I don't like.
Let a cop, black cop, do this and see what happens. Because
he's losing it all.
I remember one is in prison right now, and then it was nothing. Like, they thought nothing of it. Off to the jailhouse you go, black man. All right. Toni Braxton recently revealed that for the past 2 years, doctors have misdiagnosed her and told her she had cancer or pre-cancer symptoms. As a result, she terminated her third pregnancy. Take a look.
Mm-hmm. And they thought she had a cancer or a pre-cancer mm-hmm. workup yeah. for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And then
2 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
But how could that be in a young woman with pericarditis and all these other symptoms? Like, that's the first diagnosis autoimmune would come to.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
That is a shame. That is so sad. If Toni Braxton, you know, who has access to the best doctors, can be misdiagnosed, what does that mean for the rest of us? Armand, what do you think?
This terrifies me, because I consider myself a hypochondriac, because let me tell you something. If I'm coughing too many days, I'm at the doctor. Okay. I need a full physical. I need blood work. I need it all. That's just in my mental. And I don't like being sick, and I love going to the doctor, because I need to know what's going on, because you just never know what can creep up on you. But at the end of the day, no, seriously. But I'd be like, you know, it makes me so nervous, because it's like these doctors try to get you in and out, and you're fine. And they don't even want to. And if you have, I'm not going to say the hospital's name, but if you have certain, you know, doctors, they don't even want to do the extensive work to do the testing. You almost have to be on your deathbed for you to get an MRI, for you to get this, for them to actually look at you and do the work. So, you know, these doctors are getting lazy right now, and they're just over there collecting checks, and it's really, really dangerous. So this is scary, because it's happening all too often.
Right. Al, what do you think?
I'm just bugging out, because the female doctor said, how could this be? You want to know how it could be, lady? Because 7.4 million Americans are misdiagnosed annually. And of that 7.4 million Americans, 30% of them are from women and men of racial backgrounds, that like black African-Americans and Hispanics. That's how it can be, because you guys clearly misdiagnose us and don't listen to us. And you do it for, you know, a number of different reasons. I read this study when I was researching this, that 1 in 4 hospital patients who died or were transferred to intensive care was because of a diagnostic error. Do you want to know how many of the 1 in 4 percentage wise were African American? That's what blows my mind. More than 40%. Of the 1 in 4.
Wow.
So what is that telling you? You either not taking us serious when we present, you think, or you don't value us in our bodies. So you don't care to run the test that you hear the problem being. Either way, it's bad, and it needs to change.
Well, you know, racism is not just in the police department.
Mm. Right.
It's not just in the legal department. It's in medical. Firefighters, we covered stories about people, you know, of the fire. There was a video online where a white man that was up in age said, you know, he feels bad that back in the day, I may have let some black families burn. So I would think the medical field, it'd be no different. There's just a lack of caring. They're just like, you'll be okay. Drink some ginger ale and take an aspirin. They don't really dig deeper, because they don't really have a regard for our lives. And it's not, again, if they can shoot 12-year-old kids in cold blood out in the streets, those same type of attitudes are not just in the police department. And that's what's really sad. And black women, especially, like in this first world country, okay, we're not a third world country, black women are continuing to die during childbirth at an alarming rate. Like, it's just happening all the time, and I'm sick of it. Malia Salam said they do that because they don't want to follow results. Anything they test you, they must follow up with, they should. Sleepy ZZZ said the doctors are overworked and the hospitals press them to see as many patients as possible. And Ramos family said this is just like the lady the other day that still had to pay for chemo she never needed because she never had cancer. And last
and
one,
Holly Berry.
Larry Speak says, truth, there's a bigger conversation about Black people dealing with healthcare professionals. Racism is present in healthcare. And terminating her pregnancy, and so D'Angelo, she had to terminate her pregnancy. This is ridiculous. She should sue everyone, especially being of an older age like that, and you get pregnant and I don't know. That scares me. Coming up next, find out why a former police officer is behind bars, and later we discuss what we would do in sticky situations. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the show. I don't know what's going on, but okay. Former police officer Marcus Johnson is in custody for stalking and murdering his ex-boyfriend, Carlos Collins, after their breakup. 25-year-old Carlos's family alleges that he sought police help and obtained a restraining order against Marcus, but it wasn't taken seriously. What are your thoughts on this, and have you ever experienced rejection that turned dangerous? Armand, you ever been in this position?
Well, no, I've never been in this situation, but, you know, I've seen stories like this in the past, and this is just really, really sad because, you know, in our community, in the LGBTQ community, there's so much domestic violence that happens and goes unseen and untalked about. And this is just unfortunate because it gets really, really crazy out there. And it just goes to show that no one is safe. The fact that this man was a police officer stalking his boyfriend, didn't understand, no, the restraining orders didn't help. And he ended up in cold blood. Mind you, the whole thing was too, he had already kind of been letting everyone know that he was going to do it by his posts that he would post in his stories. Like, you could kind of already tell that he was a little off kilter in the first place, but no one really paid attention to it. And I just think a lot of times when you have two men together, a lot of people feel like, you know, y'all can just fight it out as men. Y'all will figure it out. And they don't realize that it's just as dangerous being in a domestic relationship, domestic violence relationship, as it is being in a straight one, you know, for gay people. So I just think we need to pay more attention and really open up the conversation, because I know a lot of times in my family, you know, sometimes we know you're gay, but we just won't talk about it. We know you got a boyfriend, but just don't talk about it. But maybe, just maybe, I need to be able to talk to you about my love life, so you know if I'm safe or in danger. So I would just caution people to be more open about, you know, having those conversations with your same sex loving family members.
Okay, Al, what do you think?
I mean, first of all, I want to send the condolences to the young man's family that lost his life. I mean, I can only imagine what that family's going through. I think, you know, the statistics are rising, and you're right, Armand, it's definitely rising in the same-sex community, but 70% of all murder-suicides involve intimate partners. And it's getting worse. And I just feel like, what do we do? What do we do as a community? What do we do as a culture, right, to correct this? Because it's not going down, it's going up. And I you know, especially after COVID, everyone is just so like, when it comes to conflict resolution, their resolve is to kill people, to chop them up. We talk about it on this show, and I just feel like we gotta do better. We just gotta do better. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that we can't keep going in the pace that we're going right now.
You know, I don't know much about the statistics in the LGBTQ community. LGBTQ plus community, but I say it's a problem, period. I had an experience years ago in LA with a ex-boyfriend that didn't want to let go. And he came into my apartment, threw my cats around, and he threw me into a table, glass table. I still have a scar on my knee from it, punched holes in my wall. He destroyed my apartment, right? And then I called the police, and they came and they saw the disaster. I was in a fetal position when they got there. I was tore up, and he called the house while the police was there, and they spoke to him. No detective ever checked up on me. And when I followed up with them, I said, why did anyone not take this seriously? And they said that, well, you're dark, so your bruises weren't that severe to us. And they also were like, wink, wink, really, they almost have to kill you for it to be really taken seriously. So you can get a restraining order, and there's a record of it. But like, they want to see, it's like not sexy enough, I guess, or not interesting enough. It's not a big enough deal for them when you just say someone's stalking me, someone's harassing me.
What state? What state were you?
California.
In?
It was California. Wow. And it was after the OJ thing. And I'm like, you would think after that trial of a century that you would be taking these things seriously when people are crying out for help. And Yeah, like they saw all the damage and they said my bruises weren't dark enough because my skin was brown. And I said, well, the way bruises work, the neck they get even worse the next day. And I just wondered how many other people that had kids that were in worse, far worse positions than I was in felt really helpless, you know, that they're crying out for help and they just not, they don't take them seriously. Like they really are not moved unless it's like broken bones, blood everywhere, death. And it's usually when it's too late now that you want to activate. And that's what this young man has, you know, made it a point to say, I need help. And nothing gets done. They need to work on these laws. Paige said, threw Shelly around. Oh, no. No, it wasn't Shelly. It was some older cats. Carolyn Jones said, Claudia, did you press charges? I tried to press charges. He went and said that I attacked him and lied. And then he sent us to mediation. It was my word against his. It made it so hard. And then he was also intimidating me.
Is it
So,
somebody that we might know?
no, he was a struggling actor. It was back in 1998. It was a long time ago. He was a good-looking guy, but I found out he was on steroids and he had this rage thing about him and he was very jealous. And after I broke up with him, Jesus Girl Behavior said mental health, especially with certain demographics, is just lacking. People are losing their minds. And I do think that's sad to not take it seriously if it's just between two men. Like, why would you think that one man can't murder another man or hurt, seriously harm?
But let me
And,
ask this. On the flip side, though, do you feel as though like maybe the justice system has got to a point where they're like, you know, we get so many of these calls and there's obviously been abuse, but then you either have, you know, the man in the same-sex relationship or you have the woman saying, you know, nothing happened. We're fine. You know, and it's just a fake call, you know, because maybe the neighbor called, you know, and the police knock on the door. And, you know, too many times people will be like, well, I'm not going to snitch. So I don't want nothing to happen. So we'll just lie. So these things are not being taken as serious anymore because how many people, you know, we know they lied when the police get to the door? It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that serious. You could have a whole black eye and you'll lie to the police.
yeah, and but you know what? That's also a symptom. That's also the behavior of the abused, right? To cover for your abuser. And I just think they got to recognize those things. Like, you can't just let that go. I think, I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, I don't. It's too big of a problem for me to solve. I don't know what the answer is. You know, I never went back, but there's people that do. There's people that are more desperate. There's people that need that person financially or whatever, you know, and they don't really have the means to get away. And then they may end up dead like this person. You know, it's awful. Okay. Rumors are swirling around Ryan Garcia's mental state after his intense face-off with Devin Haney ahead of their boxing match. Ryan posted a clip of Devin shoving him during the face-off and wrote, "Devin touched me without my consent. I'm suing him for putting his hands on me, and I identify as a woman, so he touched me as a grown man and hit a grown woman. And I'm LGBTQ plus, so now it's a hate crime." Do you think people are right to be concerned about Ryan's mental health? Al, what do you think about this?
Yeah, and I think I feel like he's trolling. Obviously, throwing all of that in there as trolling to me. It gives me Karen vibes. Like now, you throwing in that you're a hate crime. You're throwing in that he touched me. Karens know when to say when a black man put a hands on. Oh, he touched me. I was intimidated. I felt threatened. They know those all. He put on all the buzzwords. This type of stuff, he does need a mental check. They need to send an officer out, not to take a case, not to, you know, file a police report, but to do a health check on him. Absolutely. I agree.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
Listen, I don't know much about Ryan Garcia, so I don't really know about the mental capacity, but I 100% agree with you, Al. And I like that you said that because to me, this felt like, okay, I know everything to say, you know, to get the people going. He touched me. I'm LGBTQ. I identify as a woman, you know, all the buzzwords that get people going. You know what I mean? You got the Me Too, Karen. You got the gays involved. You got the I'm a woman involved. You know, so those are all things that trigger people into feeling some type of way. And those Karens know how to get corporate Karen on you and get you out the way, you know? And so I think that's kind of what that was. It was a play on, you know what? Let me just say all the things that, you know, get people in trouble.
Right.
So that's
And
what I was.
I understand that, you know, you talk trash talking is a huge part of promoting a boxing match because I don't even know who these people are. So to get interest, we got to say he's LGBTQ. He's got to identify as a woman. But y'all being in the community and me being a woman, I'm sick of it. I'm like, can you use something else? Like, can you use something else? It's like, I don't know, appropriating y'all's and my culture and identities for attention. Do something else. I think it's corny as hell for him to do this. I really do. And yeah, you're giving very much weirdo. Brielle said he needs to take notes from Floyd. He's trying to sell tickets. And M-Town Boy Foy said, it's people going through real things and Garcia is crying. Karen, go sit down, sir and ma'am.
That's a good one.
Yes. And Lady TC says he might be suffering from CTE. And Comfort Asante said he's trying to promote the fight, y'all.
Yeah, but you do know that Karen behavior doesn't represent any of us up here because we're black. The Karen, the woman is the white woman, is actually the Karen, and the LGBTQ, we're not really LGBTQ. That umbrella really doesn't protect us. Those are for the white gays. That's really what the LGBTQ whole thing is. And that's why I always get, you know, upset when, you know, black people be like, oh, you know, you gays, you guys, you say something against the gays, they're all going to be mad. No, that's for the white gays. That's for the white trans. Just like if somebody comes against women, that's not for black women. You guys aren't covered under that. That's for white women. So we're still black at the end of the day, gay or women. So
we are constantly reminded of that.
Yes.
All right. Jada Waiter to clap back at critics who questioned her no makeup look. Jada was spotted taking a picture of with the fan rocking a bare face. Someone wrote, this why bad bleeps shouldn't take pics with straight men, because why would you not throw a little filter on my bleep? Jada was not here for the backhanded compliment. She responded, I'm not letting no acne or hyperpigmentation stop me from taking pics and being outside fully natural. Do you think the world of social media and filters is turning people away from natural beauty, Al?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the like button and the follow button is doing the same thing, too. I love the fact that this young lady, you know, is not afraid to be outside without makeup. Look how beautiful she is. Look how beautiful she is. And look at her hair. I'm really rotating into a space now where when I'm hanging out, I am finding myself more attracted to the, what I call the raw dog look, like the no filter, the face natural without a whole bunch of makeup without or none at all, and the hair being natural. I'm here for it. I love it. And you're beautiful, sweetheart, with or without makeup.
She's pretty. I'm like, what are these people saying? Like, what's wrong with it? The average person sitting behind their computer is trolling look like crap. Okay, I'm just going to say it right now. And the audacity they have to, like, she looks pretty. Armand, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought this was stupid because I feel like, you know, majority of the people following her look like that. So that should be relatability. Like, we all have a natural look. You know what I mean? Like, we all have a regular off of work, out and about, running errands. Like, at the end of the day, I think that's also part of being the celebrity, like being the star. Like, okay, this is, I'm out running errands. I'm not on a show right now. But, you know, you kind of got me.
Hold on, Armand. Hold on now. Hold on now.
What? Well, come on, Al.
I look like this. I woke up like this now. I look on, like you, this on a regular now.
But you know,
speak
but
for yourself.
No, but remember, you had that day where you had to blacken up the spot yeah. right here. You know what I mean? They was wanting to put the line up right there.
Beijing, baby.
You got it blackened up and stuff. We all fall short sometime. But I'm just saying, it all makes us human though, right? And so right. when you can see a person with 7 million followers and all that influence and all that money, and then you run into them on the street or you see a picture and you're like, oh, she got the blemish that I have. It makes you feel more confident, right? Because we all are people with flaws at the end of the day. Right. And I like to see the flaws in us all because, you know, a lot of us battle with body dysmorphia. And when I can see my favorite people dealing with the same thing, I'm like, okay, we're all the same people here. So I'm more confident in, you know, stepping out into my life. So shout out to her for that.
The Photoshop and the filters have raised the bar so high where it's such an unrealistic expectation of people. Like, you're supposed to see like an airbrushed image in person. And it's just not realistic for most people. All right, keep it locked because coming up next, we discuss what we would do in sticky situations. And later, have you ever made an assumption that you regret? Oh my God. Yes. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Stick around. All right. Welcome back to the show. Soulmates, have you ever thought about how you would handle yourself if you were placed in the middle of an unexpected situation? Well, we'd like for you to chime in on the fun in hashtag WWYD. What would you do? All right, y'all. Atlanta residents pulled up to the IRS office demanding answers about why their tax refunds are so delayed. Take a look. times are tough. What would you do in this situation if you desperately needed your refund, Armand?
Chad, I'm going to be honest with you. That used to be me. That would be me. But I actually, now I'm on the opposite side where I literally wait to the last day because I don't get no money. I always have to owe. So I'd be like, take your time, IRS. Take your time because I always owe. So I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? I literally just filed my taxes last week because I knew I wouldn't get my money. So, but if that was me, I would be over there beating them doors down and sitting on that phone for 2 hours and calling back and pissed off because they're not answering, going straight to voicemail, going to dial tone, sitting on the phone for hours. For
and
sure.
when you really don't want to pay, you file an extension so you have until October. Hello.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I need some more time.
Yeah. I hate tax season.
Same. But you know what? When you were broke, you love tax season.
Did.
Right? Al, what do you think about this?
What would I do? I would not go to the IRS office. The last agency that you want to upset is the IRS on so many levels. A, they will delay your check. They'll continue to hold your check. They will audit you. They'll go back through, you know, to make sure that what you said and who you said you are, you are. I think the last people that I would piss off would be the IRS. So I wouldn't go down to the IRS office. Sorry. I would use every other means. I would, you know, call the office. They have this new hotline now specifically for finding out where your check status is. I would call that. I would go back to the preparer that did it for you. If you did it for yourself, I just would not bring that type of noise to the IRS office because they can make your life H-E-L bad.
H-E-L-L.
I didn't know if we could spell it or say it.
Oh, right, because you can't spell.
I'm just staying clear.
Right,
I'm just staying
right.
clear.
That was a good one, Al. You can't
spell. No, was it?
I just didn't want to be in violation. I'm always
right.
I'm always okay. doing something crazy here.
Why don't you have it?
They probably felt like there was safety numbers good on there with a lot of them. You know what I mean? Like, they can't get all of us. But, you know, the IRS, I will say this. You give them a call if you can get through the long whole line. They will work with you. I've definitely been in positions where I had to, like, have a conversation with them. But I get it. I mean, a lot of people, like, for a lot of people in America, the reality is once a year at this time is when they finally have a little bit of extra money to do something. So right. I get the frustration. You know, a lot of people are living like this. My mom, we grew up living like when income tax comes, then we can get the thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. Like, people are like really looking forward. So I get the frustration, but wow, they sure don't be late when it's time to collect the money from you, do they?
Absolutely you know not.
They find
Absolutely
a way to be like,
not.
And be short on something, 72 cents. They still want their money and they're going to tax you and interest, put interest on that thing until they get their money back.
Or they'll just take it out your account.
Freeze your account and then
I have taken money out of my account before. They just went in there and taking it out.
I had my whole life frozen. I said, wait, what happened? What happened? But you know what I did realize? They froze my accounts. I called them and I said, hey, this will put me in financial devastation. And they unreleased it. They did. And I just had to make a payment plan with them and they were actually willing to work. And trust me, y'all, you can make payment plans that are ridiculously low. You can hit them with the, all I can afford is $50 a month. And, you know, eventually you'll get that $72,000. It's going to take you like 42 years, but you're going to get it. I'm paying every month.
Now, you guys know one of my 150 jobs, I used to do taxes. That's what I say, Claudia, always. I know it's scary because I know when I think taxes, I get extremely nervous and scared, and I do taxes. But all you have to do is communicate and document that you communicated, send them a letter, send them an email, send them a letter or anything to communicate to show that you had good faith, and they will be forced to work with you.
You'd be surprised because I've been there, done that. And yes, we good now, though. All right. Video footage caught the exact moment. A woman caused a terrible car wreck. Watch this clip.
Oh, what the? Wow. Wow.
Oh my God. If someone brake checked you like this, what would you do, Armand?
I'm pissed because clearly this is a scam. Girl, you trying to get a new car, you trying to get a come up, and you trying to act like you mad. You committed to the whole lot, the whole show. Now it's my fault. Girl, you got in front of me and stopped that car like that. because you wanted me to hit you because you know the burden could have been on me. Because you have to have a certain amount of distance. Even if someone break checks you, you know, we can split the fault. So at that point, I feel like, girl, I'm pissed off because you're trying to fraud me through insurance.
Yeah, it's messed up that like they have it where pretty much if you hit someone from the back, it's almost always your fault. Yeah, because people are getting very creative with their scam themselves. Al, what do you think about this?
Okay, I already told you guys, I'm not very good behind the wheel. My rage is really bad. I would have drug her a couple. I would have drug that car a couple of feet. I promise you, I would have just kept going. I would have drugged her a little while, and then I would have stopped up the road and said, oh my God, did I hit somebody? I have no time for these type of games. I don't even have time for people who break too much. I don't have time for people that go below the speed limit. All of it drives me to a frenzy that just is not healthy. So she wouldn't want to try that with me.
You don't need no car in LA.
She would have been plopped. I would have hit her. She would have probably fell over in that. And I would have drug that car right down.
Yeah, I see why you don't drive out here, because, baby, you will be over it in LA.
Oh, my gosh. LA people drive me nuts.
I'm out here today. It's like 40 minutes going 5 miles. I do not miss this. Y'all can have this. I'm going to tell you what. Road rage in Texas, it's been, you know, it's such a huge state and so spread open. There's so many freeways. It's been really good to be able to just like drive at a good normal speed and people are like being wide open freeway. It's not as bad there. I mean, we do have our times because a lot of people are moving there, but it's been good to be able to like not really have a lot of these like little things like that. Jay Callwood 25 said she did that on purpose. See, people really be wanting to get beat up. Tanya Christopher said she crossed a solid white line. That girl should be held responsible. And Malik Taylor said a lot of people be doing this BS. And this is a good idea. S. Rain said, I need to get a dash cam. Not a bad idea. All right, y'all. Coming up, have you ever regretted an assumption? Keep it locked to find out what we've assumed wrongfully. We'll be right back.
What'd you say?
Welcome back to TGIF. Armand, I'm so glad that, you know, like the eyes, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see you clearly, straight, right on.
The hills have eyes and they go straight.
No looking off camera.
I'm missing the joke. Who are we talking about?
Can you see me?
Can you? I'm looking straight at you.
No side eye. Don't cross me.
No shades. Okay, come on.
You know what we're talking about. All right, check out this tweet. It says, what is something that strangers often incorrectly assume about you? Fellas, some assumption that people have about you? Al, let's go with you first.
Probably that I'm buttoned up and conservative as heck.
Mm. Okay. Armand?
I think people's misconception of me is that, you know, because they see me online, they just think I'm just this messy, loud, obnoxious, flamboyant gay man because of what they see online. And then when you see me, I'm really a vibe.
How is that wrong?
Because it's not who I am off. They just assume that I'm just, because here's the thing. People don't know
me. The shade is real.
No, because people, no.
I see you.
No, I do have her. Now, I have her buttoned up if you try me.
Okay.
But if you're my friend and you just meet me on a cool, Al, you've hung out with me. You know I'm not, like, you know there's Armand the show. Then there's Armand the guy.
Are you much different off camera than you are?
Yes, because I'm, but people assume what they see on camera that is who I am 24/7. I couldn't be like this all day long.
I can understand that, and especially if you know certain things that we work on, like they take a piece of your personality and you're forever judged by that one thing. I have a severe resting B face and I could be happy, but I just don't be like sitting here. I'm not going to be sitting here like, and there's nothing to laugh at. So I know I have a very angular, sharp face. I'd be looking mad. I'm really not. I just be like not trying to get wrinkles. I'm 51. So I just be letting my face be slack. Okay. Reversing the question. Have you ever made an assumption about someone else without?
No, you didn't answer them? The question on you.
Well, that was her asking it.
Yeah, mine was, you know, the,
okay,
the main.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. okay. I'm sorry. Assumptions about other people. Have you had them about other people when you were wrong about them? Armand, let's go with you first. Have you made an assumption about someone without getting to know them first?
Yeah, I'm sure I've done it many times because I've listened to other people or I've paid attention to other things. And then I've actually seen it for myself. And I'm like, you know what? I actually pegged you to be something else and you weren't that type of person, you know? And so that has definitely happened to me before. And I overthink a lot of things. So I automatically, because I know I'm the type of personality, either you love me or you hate me. So I automatically go into any situation thinking this person ain't gonna like me. Yeah. But then I realized, oh my God, no, we vibe. You cool. You like me. You get it. So I'm glad I didn't judge you.
I'm with you on that. I always think people don't like me until I'm proven otherwise. Al, about you assuming assumptions about other people?
Yeah, I made that. I grew up in the church and I used to assume that the church girls were good old church women. No, they are the freakiest.
Oh,
so. I mean, I just find, you know, you think church
is crazy. Yeah, I think what's the freakiest thing you done with a church woman?
Boy,
raw dog.
Okay. Hey, this is not about someone I knew, but I made an assumption and it taught me a valuable lesson. I just moved to Texas. I was at the Texas State Fair. I was just got announced on the radio. So it was like my coming out party there in Dallas. They're welcoming me. And this girl wanted to take a picture with me. And I was like, yes. She's like, Claudia Jordan, I love you. I'm like, all right, cool. I hold the camera and I put my hand on her stomach. It was obvious she was 9 months pregnant. I said, baby? She said, no. I said, sorry. And it was like, so, I felt so bad. So ever since then, I don't care. You could be like in labor. I'm not going to assume you're pregnant. And I felt really bad about that.
It was giving fupa.
It was all the way up here. Though. It was like, it was so, it looked exactly like a pregnant stomach, you know?
That was gas.
I'm sorry if you're watching. I'm so sorry. Like, but you really, it was really given like 9 months pregnant. Like, it looked just and only stomach. So I'm sorry.
I've done
foot and mouth.
But women can get away with doing that. Like, men cannot get away with doing that.
I know.
He was a really good sport about it. I will say that. And yeah, sorry if you're watching. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. And thanks for watching us on YouTube. I'm going to assume that y'all rewatch this tomorrow and run those numbers up. Stay tuned for Fox Soul Face Off, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Y'all behave, be good out here, okay? Leave them raw dog church girls alone.
Hey, come on, Al. See you tomorrow.